I'm not on? Now I'm on. Oh, now I'm loud. Wow. So you have to do the loud voice, or have to do the softer voice when the mic's on. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. Pray for those that are not with us, some that hopefully be coming back from their illnesses and other things, and others that will come back from their self-imposed ill thought through sabbatical, being away from church. Reach out to people when you know you should, and encourage them. It's important. I hope you join us next Sunday. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together, as Gloria said, and hopefully if you can join us Saturday, that'll be great. And who doesn't like to clean? Come on. Yeah, hey, cleaning's good. I was taught that by a very wise woman about how many years ago, Meg? My starkest lesson was, well, there was a couple of them. There's many of them, actually. But, yeah, the biggest thing was after picking up from me, she said, "I'm not your mother, I'm not your grandmother." "You'll pick up after yourself." And I went, "Okay, ma'am." "Yes, ma'am." But then I learned a really good thing too, because we both like to cook, and you know, we cook, and we were first married, we were cooking everything, and I cooked, and I was cooking everything, would be piling up here and there and everything, and Meg would be like, no, you cook it and then you clean it, and then I realized, I said, why would you do all that? I want to get done, and then I realized that when she did that, when we were finished, like before we sat down to eat, everything was clean. Like, as we were going, we just put everything back clean. It was, like, cool. We sat down, and we only had a couple little things that day. That was a cool thing. So, you know, it's, do I like to clean? I guess I do now. But I like to clean because I love my wife even more. So, I had to do it. So, but, yeah, join us if you can, because it's a great time. But it's just not only the work that we'll do and fixing up, but it's also the time of fellowship together and just time, you know, this is the building God gave us, and we should always, you don't have to look for the time that we just call it time. When you're here, if there's things, and many of you do, by the way, we thank you for so many that help out and do things, clean up, help fix up, and I know the some of you here, you would probably be embarrassed if I start naming your names, have come and just, you know, fixed big things, you know what I mean, and it's been really a blessing. So we really thank you and look forward to working together this week. We had communion of the Lord's Supper at Jersey this morning, and the whole service was just focused on that, which I believe we're going to do the same thing next week, really just focus on the communion itself. So the message that I had prepared, I didn't give there. It's for here, and maybe if the Lord allows, I'll give this message over there next week. We'll see what the Lord allows, but we're going to talk about temptation this morning. We're going to talk about it, and see what the Word of God says about, because we all struggle with it in different ways at different times. So, Father, as we have the children go downstairs, as we settle our hearts up here, as we take out our Bibles and settle in, that we ask, Father, that you speak to our hearts as we know you desire to do. Help us to have the ears that you would give us to hear, and let our hearts be open to receive your word, and as it's implanted in us and in our life, that we would be doers of it and not just the hearers only. And that, Father, as we do the things we're called to do, we pray that others would see your work in us, your love in us, and would come to know you through our lives. So, Father, your word is powerful. And as we speak about a subject today, Lord, that is common to all of us, let us not just hear a message or learn some lessons. Let us be changed by your word, that we would be able to deal with this matter in the way that you would have us, to find the victory that you have promised to give us, so that once again we can glorify you in all things. And that, Father, again, others can see you in us and be born into your family. So, Lord, bless this time. The children are downstairs, and we're going to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Temptation. Just the word, it sounds, right? Just temptation. I actually like the group, the old group in the 60s, the Temptations. They made some nice music. I like some of their music, but I never liked the name of their group, though. Yeah, the Temptations. Yes, we're the Temptations. It just doesn't, just something about it, you know? Temptation. I think there's even a, I really do not like, I have never been a fan of. In fact, they actually make me annoyed and angry of reality shows. They do. I mean, there's a couple that are quote reality shows that I find interesting, like, you know, the ones that go out when the guys are fishing or something like that. Like, I find those kind of interesting, or things like that. But there's other crazy reality shows, and I think there's one out there, Temptation Island, dun dun dun. Temptation. You know, God's law, his moral law, the Bible says it's written on our hearts. God gives us a conscience, too. We know deep down inside things that are right and wrong. Yes, different societies may have a little bit of difference in what they consider moral and not moral over the time periods. There's times that some time periods the morals were more strict and or more loose. But generally, we know as human beings things that are wrong. We do. Things that are just not right. There's no society known to man where that society does not know inherently or intuitively that murder is wrong. They just know it. It's wrong. In societies, all societies, and these things, you know, are just not things we muse about. These are things that are studied. Those societies, they all know it's wrong to take another man's wife. They know it's wrong. It's not, even if they do it, you know what I'm saying? They know it's not right. And when we are tempted to sin, many times something within us just goes, you know what, this is not the thing to do. Now, temptation, though, is different than sin. Temptation unto itself is not sin. You don't know how many times I hear that and have had to talk to people about that, that they are plagued by the fact that they are having these temptations, and they're talking about how they're sinning. And I say, well, the temptation itself is not sin. It can become sin. But the temptation itself is not sin. And I can prove that to you biblically by telling you and making you the statement, which I could bear out with many scriptures, and just, you know, the entirety of scripture shows us this. Jesus himself was tempted. Did he ever sin? No. So the temptation is not sin. See, sin occurs when we mishandle the temptation. James, in his first chapter of his epistle, he writes something to us that he says to us, and I'm going to read a different translation than it's on the screen, but you can read both. But listen to what James says to the church. He says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. Now, we talked about Jesus being tempted. That was the man Christ Jesus, but God himself is never tempted to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So the temptation itself is not the sin. But when we mishandle the temptation, when we allow the temptation to continue to entice us, when we allow that temptation to drag us away, when we allow then these desires to give birth to sinful actions, now we're into sin. But again, the temptation itself is not sin. But it is obviously the avenue by which, for the most part, we sin. We don't always sin just when we're tempted. Sometimes we just sin because, but you know, most times there's a temptation to sin. There's two main avenues, if you want to call them that, of temptation by which we're tempted. The first one is there is one. God doesn't tempt us, but there is an enemy. There is Satan, and he does tempt. He does tempt, and I have a lot of scriptures up there that we could talk about that, but the scripture is very clear that Satan himself, or him and his cohorts, you know, the fallen angels, the demonic realm, they do tempt us. But while Satan is a tempter, he's not the only avenue by which we are tempted. As James tells us here, we're tempted by our own flesh, our own sinful flesh, our own hearts. So while the Bible gives us many examples of people being tempted by Satan, Job, which God allowed, right? David, New Testament, the husband and wife team of Ananias and Sapphira, specifically says Satan tempted them, you know. Judas, right? Betraying Jesus. I mean, Jesus himself, we said, was tempted. We know that Satan is the tempter. But God doesn't tempt us. God may allow temptation in our life as he did with Job. God may allow the temptation to come for the purpose that God has for it, but he doesn't tempt us. See, when we talk about Job, and you'll be reading that soon if you're following through the scriptures, scripture readings, God allowed Satan to tempt Job, but gave Satan restrictions. He gave him limits. You only can go this far with him. The Bible tells us, I think 1 Peter tells us, that Satan is a roaring lion. Is it like a roaring lion? Seeking who he might devour. We're told to resist him. So temptations do come from Satan. He is the god of this world. He is the father of lies. All evil originates with him. But he only can do what he can do. The rest is our own sinful nature. And we don't even need the prompting from Satan to sin because of our own sinful nature. So again, James says, when we are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Carried away, dragged away, our own evil desires. Thoughts come in, feelings come in. Things come before our eyes, things come into our ears. I think, if I remember correctly, that in the first chapter of Job, when it talks about Satan and his role in tempting, it's he knows people. And there's a phrase in there, a word in there, that actually says he is observing us, as I recall. He's watching. He knows humankind, human beings. So he knows our sinful nature. He knows the things, and he knows how to bring things before us and parade them before us, because what is tempting for you may not be tempting for me, and vice versa. So Satan knows. He studies. If you ever wonder, why do I get only these types of pop-up ads on my phone? Oh, why? I don't want to see this. And you delete and you do this stuff and they come back on you. You think, oh, that's just technology. Okay, well, sometimes. Sometimes we know we have an enemy that knows our weaknesses. And knows what to put before our eyes, knows what to put in our ears, knows what's to parade before us. Why is it? I don't understand, Pastor Joe. You know, everybody else just gets up and they do their thing. And then, you know, I have this thing with anger. And all of a sudden, it's only me that people cut off. And it's only me that people slam their brakes. It's only me that they do this. And it's not only you, but guess what? It's you, because this is your weak spot. And Satan likes to prick and look at it and try to get you to going. So even when we want to do and continue to desire to do good, we're tempted. to not to do good, to go against God's law. No one is above it. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to the Roman church in chapter 7, he says, again, it'll be a different translation. I'm reading than what's on the screen, but I picked these today just because some of them might be clearer for us to understand this, the idea of temptation. When Paul wrote in Romans, again, he's writing as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he was still a man, subject to temptation. He writes in verse 22 and 23, he says, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." In other words, he says, I get tempted. I get tempted to do things that I know I should not do. And I struggle with this. I also get tempted not to do the things that I know I should be doing, the good things that I should be doing. I have this struggle within me that there's temptation comes for me to go both ways, and neither of them are good. But I'm tempted. I'm struggling. So you're not immune. No one's immune. So again, temptation itself is not sinful. But don't think that you actually always have to carry through an action for temptation to become sin. Now listen very carefully. There's a distinction here that's important. Because I will say this. We are very, very, very good at justifying our actions. We are. We all are. Jesus said to us that even if you do not act out on your lust, it can become sin. Now, not the temptation for the lustful action, but the lust itself can become sin. You say, what are you talking about? You remember these words from Matthew chapter 5. He says, Jesus saying this, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks to a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, that does not mean if you, as a guy, now I'm talking about a guy, and it's easy for me to talk about being a guy since that's what I am. But if I see a beautiful woman, it doesn't mean if I recognize her beauty. It doesn't mean that if I look at a girl and say, wow, she's very attractive or whatever, that doesn't mean that I'm committing lust. It doesn't mean, but if I begin to gaze upon her beauty in a way, that now becomes something where my thought actions become much more than just a recognition. It becomes something that I begin to dwell about, think about, play out maybe even in my mind. Then it already becomes sin, even if I never follow through with the act itself. So it doesn't always have to. Now, obviously, the act itself is the culmination that James was talking about, and that's where it becomes then gives birth to death. But we have to realize that there are some types of sins that even the rumination of where we hold them in within ourselves, we begin to play with them. We begin to be enticed. See, that's the difference. And we begin to keep them in there. We do not dismiss them. We do not put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. We do not bring those thoughts into captivity unto Christ Jesus. We continue to hold them in here in a place and begin to keep them within ourselves. Then it can already become sin even before an act ever takes place. So the reason I bring this out is that it's better to deal with the temptation, right? Than to begin to now have something in here that you don't deal with right away that can become even sin before we commit an act. See, covetousness, pride, greed, envy, they're all sins of the heart. Even when they're not apparent to anyone else. You may never act fully on your covetousness, but if you are a covetous person and you do not allow that to be dealt with when the temptation to covet something comes, you can begin to become a covetous person and sin in your heart with covetousness before you would ever act on it. So we need to deal with the temptation. See, when we give in to the temptation and entertain their thoughts, they take root in our heart and they begin to defile. See, when we yield then to the temptation, all of a sudden we begin to then now set ourselves up for acting then the thing out within our lives. And then the fruit of the Spirit that we want within our life, the fruits of the Spirit of God, they kind of be set to the side, and we just deal with the fruits of the flesh. Again, James tells us many times what is first entertained is just a thought, and then can become action. So we need to overcome the temptation. So how do we do that? Well, we can. That's the good news. The good news is we can. Jesus has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. We have the power. Not the power never to be tempted, the power to resist temptation. And that's what we want to talk about. Before it ever takes root in our heart, mind, or even becomes an action. Now, it may help you to know this first, and I just want to give you the scripture, because I kind of said it already a couple times, but I want to just kind of look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us this, that no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common as to all men. Okay, you hear that one? No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. Then it goes on to say, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So understand this. When we're talking about temptation, you're not alone. You're not alone. Sometimes we think we are. Why am I the only one struggling with this? You're not. We all struggle with this. It's part of the human condition. So I don't know if that gives you any solace. But for some people, it does, because I know that that's been an awakening for some people to say, oh, you mean I'm not the only one that struggles with temptation? No, you're not. But as you struggle with it, as others struggle with it too, remember that God is faithful. And he will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, in other words. He gives you also a way of escape, and that's what, again, we want to talk about today. He gives us a way of escape. See, when Jesus was tempted, it tells us in Hebrews 4:15 that he understands our temptation. See, it says about Jesus, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses. You know why? Well, he's God, yes, but he also walked the walk. He was tempted. He had a body of flesh. He never sinned. He was sinless, but he had a body of flesh. He was subject to temptation. So he is a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands it, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Oh. So Jesus was tempted like we are. Yeah. And Jesus never sinned like we do. No, he didn't. Oh. So we got something to learn. We got something to learn. Now, I'm going to give you the first, it's not the only, but the first, best, and usually, because it's not always possible, but usually, the first, the best, and usually the most effective way to deal with temptation is when the temptation comes, flee! Flee! Just flee, man. Get out of Dodge. Most times we don't do that. We don't. We let it hang around. We kind of play around with it. We play footsie with it. We try to reason it and da da da. I'm strong. I'm macho, man. I don't need to flee. Nobody makes me flee. I'll stand my ground. No, you're not. You're going to fall because that's where pride happens in you. Guess what? There's no shame in fleeing when it comes to temptation. No shame in it, believe me. That's right, Donna Joseph. Man, that dude was tempted day in and day out, harassed even by his Potiphar's wife, you know, the man who's in charge of the house, the captain of the guard. Joseph was his slave, and he was pursued by the wife to sleep with her, and he pursued to the point, I mean, every day she was in his face. And when it got to the point where it was so critical, she grabbed him And by the way, from a standpoint of what we get out of the story, Potiphar was never around much. And technically, they probably could have got away with it. But Joseph knew that it was not only a sin against Potiphar and even the wife, but it was mostly a sin against God. He just ran. He ran, and she held his cloak. She took his garment. I mean, you know, he just left his clothes behind. Not that he took them off and ran out. No, she grabbed him, and he just whoop. He said, "I'm out of here, baby." You say, "Well, a lot of good that didn't do. He ended up in the dungeon." Okay. But you understand, God was faithful. If he would have sinned there, do you think God would have done the other faithful thing to him later? Elevate him to that position where he was able to save not only himself, but his family and all of Israel? Do you think I would have done that if he would have fell into the temptation and sinned? No. He fled. He flew. That's the first and great thing to do. So instead of being in that potentially dangerous situation, try to talk, to reason, justify, explain it, or whatever, he just got out of there. We need to get out of there. That's the first thing that we should do. I'm going to give you another scripture that kind of teaches that part of it also, because it tells us about how we need to conduct ourselves, not to put ourselves even into temptation or tempting situations. Romans chapter 13 says this, listen, let us, Christians, now, this is a message to Christians, by the way. Everybody's tempted. The whole world's tempted. But as Christians, we're the only ones that could truly, really do something about it because God has given us everything we need, the power to overcome temptation, right? The world's kind of left to their own devices. And some people, yeah, have more stronger will than others, but they're going to fall somewhere sometime. Okay? But for Christians, let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So before you even have to flee, don't get yourself in situations when you can avoid them. And there's so many easy avenues to find yourself opening yourself up, ourselves up to temptation. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not being dramatic. I'm really not. This maybe isn't the greatest thing at all of all anymore. Wow. You just open this thing and you're bombarded. And I'm not just talking about, you know, just sexual things. It's not that. That's a small part. Well, it's a big part, but it's one part of it. It wants to control the way we think and act. The attitudes of this world, the bombarding of messages that are anti-God, anti-Christ, it's just in our face. And yet how many times, and I'm going to speak here, you know, how many times in the morning do I wake up and before I even think about praying, I just pick, oh, let me see what's going on. How many times I do that? Come on, Joe. Stop. But I do. I wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, let me check my phone. Why? Why? Why set myself up? Why set ourselves up? And that's not the only avenue, guys. You know that. The guys, I say guys, girls, you know, us. It's not the only avenue. But yet we find ourselves putting ourselves in positions. Make no provision for the flesh. Keep yourselves out of situations that you know will eventually be too tempting. When we put ourselves in those situations, we're asking for trouble. See, God gives us a way of escape, but do we take that way? Right? I read that earlier. God gives us a way of escape, but do we take it? You know, Paul told Timothy, who was a younger man, when Timothy was in the ministry, and he said to him, one of the things he says to him is very simple. He says, flee the evil desires of youth. Flee them. Just don't put yourself in situations, Timothy. You're a young guy. He was a single guy, apparently. He said, Timothy, man, you can find yourself in a lot of very precarious situations. Avoid them. That's just smart. Even Jesus said, now we pray this, and it's interesting, because some people get confused by this, you know, because God doesn't tempt anyone, but we could pray to the Lord, lead us not into temptation. Again, not that God tempts us, but Lord, keep us from all temptation here. Help me to be guarded from the temptation that is all around me. Keep me from it, Father, because I know I am weak. You're strong. I need you to help me. Keep me from it. So the first thing is to not put yourself into situations and to flee them, to get out of the situations as quickly as possible. But that's not always possible. There are some situations that are unavoidable. There's things that can happen that we don't want to put it. We find ourselves in situations. We find ourselves temptation finding us many times. And what do we do? Well, one of the things we should do is learn by the example of Jesus when he was tempted. When Jesus was tempted, do you know what he said with that temptation? Every time the temptation came, he said the same thing. It is written. And you know what he said when it was written? He gave the scripture. It is written, and he gave the scripture. It is written, and he gave the scripture. It is written. So that means he began to fight, if you will. See, Jesus, when he was being tempted, it was real temptation, by the way. He was tempted in ways we can never be tempted. Now, he was on a 40-day fast. No, I don't recommend that. Again, if the Holy Spirit does something, that's between you and God, but that's, I don't know, that's, you know. And it says, and afterward it became hungry. In other words, the fast was ending, and it was a point where this guy hadn't, you know, Jesus hadn't eaten. Again, you say, well, he was God. No, he was fully man at this point. He still was God, but he was man. He had to eat. Turn that stone into bread. Now you say, that's not a temptation for us because we can't turn stone into bread. But for Jesus it was, because he could have done that. It is written, shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When the temptation came, he gave scripture, which meant that before he was tempted, he knew scripture. Well, of course he did. He was the word of God. But do you know scripture? Is it in your heart? Is the scripture alive within you? Are you able to resist temptation by being immersed in the word of God and then using that word of God as a sword? Against the work of the enemy, against the temptation he brings about us. The word of God is a sword of the Spirit, is the word of God, and we can use that weapon effectively. You guys hearing this stuff this morning? You hearing it? Use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Have the word of God, according to what Romans 12 tells us, verse 2. Let us be transformed by having our minds renewed. How does that happen? Our faith comes alive with us by hearing the word of God, being immersed in the word of God day and night. Jesus was the word of God, praise God. But he's given us his word, and he tells us that that word can be used as a sword against the onslaughts of the enemy. To resist temptation by using his word. I love this psalm, the longest chapter of the Bible, you know, 119, but just three times. It says it so many times in there. But listen, verse 11, 97 and 98, they're the ones that we just picked this morning. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So in other words, when the word's in our heart and we use that word effectively, when the temptation comes, before it even has a chance to become something in our minds that could become sin, it's like, out of here. The word of God says, the word of God says, the word of God says, get behind me, Satan. The word of God says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen to verse 97 and 98. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night, or in it day and night, right? Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. And that includes Satan. That includes Satan. You say, I'm no match for him. No, you're not, but the word of God is. See, when you and I, Colossians 2, set our minds on things above and not on things in the earth, when we're immersed in the word of God, we can say, get behind me, Satan, because we are now not defenseless. We have a weapon. And if all we're doing, though, now this is not, I'm not going to sit here and rail. I remember, and not that this was wrong, but I remember sometimes it would take a legalistic bent. And I remember some of the preachers, well-meaning, right? Coming to, this is years ago, when I first became a Christian, and some of the older preachers, you know,
you watch the TV and you're going to hell. You know, you read a book other than the Bible, you're going to hell. And that's not true. But the sentiment was right about the things of this world that can affect us. So if, let's balance it out, right? If all you do is watch your computer, watch TV, watch movies, read secular books, this, that, and the other. If that's all you do and fill yourself up with that and not fill yourself up in the Word of God, then you, when this enemy comes, you're going to say, well, Oprah said, well, Dr. Phil said. Are they even still relevant anymore? I just picked them out of my head because I don't watch this stuff anymore. You know, I'll get real old. Well, Dear Abby said, you know. Yeah, well, the latest article I read said this. I'll fight that. I'll fight the temptation that way. No! What's the Word of God say? Or do you filled up with human wisdom, human knowledge, human understanding? There's not a weapon against it. The enemy gives you that stuff because when you take it out, your sword is going to be like rubber. It's going... But you take out the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And then the enemy said, whoa! He's got the sword of the Spirit. He's got no flimsy, you know, rumination of some psychologist or some doctor or some celebrity or somebody who wants to make money on a book. You know, no, he's got the Word of God. Big difference, isn't there? See, but without the Word of God in our hearts, we're open to anything Satan wants to throw at us. So meditate in it day and night. Set your mind on things above. And then we have something else. We have prayer. Before I get to that, just remember that this is a constant battle. Jesus said in the garden when they were tempted to fall asleep as opposed to pray with him, he said, keep watching and praying that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You may hear this message today and you might be all like, yes, I'm ready to go. But if you don't keep up and do the things we're called to do, you will find yourself falling and failing again. Because even though your spirit's willing, our flesh is weak. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need his power to overcome the temptation, to resist the temptation. So again, we're not usually not going to want to just jump into sin. We find ourselves gradually. I'm sure they said, oh, we're going to stay awake. And they probably did for the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, the droopy eyes, you know. She said, no, what? Keep watching. Keep alert. Temptation's there. Proverbs 4. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the evil way of men. Avoid it and do not pass. Turn away from it, pass on. So as we're avoiding it, we need to turn away from it, and then we need to turn towards the things that we need to do. To the point of whatever you find that is keeping you away from the Word of God and spending time with Him and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, get it out of your life. Because Jesus said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. It's better to lose one of your body parts than to have your whole body thrown into hell. Not to say that as a Christian you're going to be thrown into hell, but the principle is the same. If you and I are not walking in the Spirit, we will find ourselves fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Period. Okay, so we're fleeing. We're avoiding. That's important. Where you're going to use the Word of God. And as we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds and use it as a sword, we will find ourselves beginning to resist temptation. But we also need to know that we need to pray. Because even in the Lord's Prayer, as we said earlier, Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. He told them in the garden, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. He says that in Mark's version of it. So what we need to do is we need to, along with fleeing, along with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, we need to be praying. And we need to be praying in faith, fully believing that the same God who said that we will be tempted, it's common to all of us, has given us all a way of escape. Sometimes you and I don't know how to avoid temptation. Some of us do not always know what to do when that temptation comes and you can't flee from it. So you pray, Lord, this thought keeps plaguing me. You said in your word that I can take every thought into captivity to you. How do I do that, Father? How? See, because the word of God can tell us something, but yet we might lack the wisdom to know how to apply it practically in our situation. So Jesus said that if we lack wisdom, ask God. So you go to our Father in prayer and say, Father, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This keeps coming back. I read my Bible, but when I'm reading my Bible, the thoughts get worse. Okay, Father, how do I do this? How do I apply what your word says, what scripture says? How do I apply it? I need the wisdom to know how to overcome. And you know what he promises? To give you the wisdom you ask for. If you really want it. This is where you and I have to get real honest with ourselves. Because there are some temptations we continue to are plagued about, and you don't like it, but you really don't want it to go. That's where you got to get honest with yourself. You say, that's not true. Nah, think about it, because you know what? I take some long, hard inventory sometimes, think about why certain things that I have to deal with continue to come back, and I said, Lord, I put them at your feet, and then I realized, you know what? Maybe I don't want it to fully go. I know it's wrong. I don't like it. I know it plagues me. I know it bothers me. But there's something that I hold on to. Why? I don't know. Lord, give me that wisdom to understand. I don't want this in my life anymore. See, I've told many of you here at different times dealing with this subject that you know we do what we love. We do. You and I have to learn how to hate not only the sin, but even hate the temptation. Because some of us find the temptation titillating. We do. Oh, I'll never do it, though. I'll never act on it. I won't even think about it. I won't even become lust in my heart. Oh, no. If you continue to find even the temptation a little titillating or scintillating, you know what? You're never going to let that go. Pray, Father, show me. Show me these areas of my life where I actually like it. There's something about it. Because I want to hate it. I want it to repulse me. I even wanted maybe to scare me a little bit. That's okay, so I could flee from it and I could bring it to you. That's what I need. So we need to pray. See, again, we have everything, all the tools necessary for the victory over temptation. Not that temptation will ever stop. In this flesh, and we're in this body, it'll always be part of this human life until we get to be... well. Good news, when you are freed from this body of flesh and we are with Jesus, you will not be tempted anymore. Say hallelujah, praise God, glory to God, whatever you want to say. Clap, whatever. Yeah, okay, well, that's not yet though. It's coming, hold on to it. That's beautiful, but it's not yet, so we have to deal with it here and now. And if we deal with it effectively here and now, the temptation will always be there, the potential for temptation. It even said about Jesus, Satan left him to come back at a more opportune time. So it's always going to come back around. So you and I have to have the tools, which he has given us, and know how to use those tools, and then actually take those tools out of the tool belt and actually use them when the time comes. So we have all the tools necessary. No matter what trials and temptations comes our way, armed with the Holy Spirit of God, the truth of his word, prayer, and the understanding to flee, we are well equipped to overcome Satan's assaults. See, because church, just to remind you as we close, even though the Holy Spirit resides within us, does not mean that our flesh is still not going to be weak. And even when we know something is sinful, sometimes we entertain that temptation, even if it's for a moment, we need to stop it in its tracks. Satan is wiser than you. He's more powerful than you. He knows things about you that you don't even want to admit that you know about yourself. And he has a lot of schemes. But God has given us everything we need to be victorious over him. And we understand that when we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. John tells us, you know the scripture, but apply it. Ye are of God, little children, 1 John 4:4, and have overcome them, the enemy, right? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are defenseless, but the Holy Spirit living within us will give us everything we need. So Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. But I want to remind us of something too, as a final thought. When we are tempted, recognizing where that temptation could lead if we allow it to become sin, think about who and what we are sinning against. See, the scriptures tell us that if King David, even for a second, when he was on the roof looking at Bathsheba, would have even for a moment took the time to think, wait a minute, what am I doing? That's another man's wife. I don't care how beautiful she is. I don't care the fact that her husband's away in battle, and I know that. It doesn't matter that I'm the king and I can kind of do whatever I want. But if I bring this woman into my bed and I sleep with this woman, then I am sinning against her, against her husband, against her family, against my family, against the kingdom, against the people, and most importantly, against the holy God who loves me and gave me all of this. Why would I want to sin against the holy God? And then temptation, when it comes, you begin to say, really? Is that what you're tempting me for? I love God too much to even think about that. I love God too much. I love my wife too much to even think about that. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ to even think about that. Satan, get behind me. I'm going to employ the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God because I don't want to ever put my Lord to shame. Closing scripture, 1 John 1:4 through 9. And these things write we unto you. This is why he wrote us that whole epistle about sinning and not to sin. He says, I write this unto you that your joy may be full. See, when temptation comes and you and I deal with it right on the gate, right outside, right into a proper way, by the power of God, our joy will be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, which is a temptation, right? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. However, right, this is what the other side is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we're all sinners. We know that. We don't want to sin, but Lord, we find ourselves sometimes doing it. But Lord, we would realize, and we realize, I pray today, Father, from this word and your message from your scriptures that, Father, we have an enemy. We have this flesh. This world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire to tempt us, to bring us to sin. But Father, we do not have to yield to temptation. We do not have to coddle and ruminate and think about the temptation. We don't have to entertain it at any length. But Father, as we consider the cost of allowing temptation to become sin, and all sin, Lord, comes with some death of some sort, of some way, Lord, let us count the cost. And then let us not only hate the sin, but even the temptation of the sin. So that when these things come our way, we can say at the outset, I will flee from this thought because it is not who I am as a child of God, and I have no desire to sin against God nor his people. Yes, and I'm going to flee. And Father, when the fleeing, Lord, is sometimes difficult to do or maybe in a situation impossible, then Lord, I will employ your word. So let us spend time with you daily to fill ourselves with the things of Scripture, your word. Let us hide it in our heart that we would not ever sin against you. that we would remember, Lord God, what your word says, so that when temptation comes, we can employ the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, and Satan will not be able to lead us into that sin. And Father, when sometimes it comes and we realize that we're not even sure how to handle a situation, we're going to make sure, Father, that we spend time in prayer, seeking your face, crying out to you, asking you, Lord, to give us the wisdom that we don't have today to deal with this tempting situation, Lord God, or the continual thoughts that bombard our minds and call out to us on a regular basis. Father, we pray for that wisdom that you promised to give us to apply your words, your truth today. And Father, let us never forget that all these things, while they are potent and important, left to ourselves, Lord, we would somehow still fail. But Lord, you did not leave us alone and powerless. You have given us yourself. You have given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to enable us to take all of these other tools and all these other weapons that you have left at our disposal, and to use them powerfully and properly, so that you are a very present help in time of need. So Father, help us today to all be victorious over temptation, that in all things and all ways, Lord God, we would be able to be a good witness for you, that our joy would be full, and that our Father in heaven would always be glorified through our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Don't rush right out. Encourage each other. Pray for one another today. Come together when you deal with temptation and be able to share with one another how you can overcome. And let's sing a song today that we need the Lord so much.
I come.
We confess.